This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Visit aircomfortservice.com.
The Mark Reardon Show.
Brad Young.
Right now, Hunter Biden is a convicted felon as he is pleading guilty to these tax charges, and that must be factored into the judge's decision on sentencing.
Weekdays from 3 to 6. Is the Annie Fry Show. Yeah. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
You got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me tonight, FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really need something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here, because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them.
That is from Springfield, Ohio. Weirdest story so far of the election cycle. Haitian immigrants, from what I understand, I read like tens of thousands of Haitian immigrants have been established. Didn't they like up the population of that town by like 30% or something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe even more. Will Sharp coming in hot into the studio here, and I go, what's the biggest story you want to talk about? And he's like, Haitian immigrants.
I mean, it's in fairness to them, the ducks in the park are free. Like, this is like a great life hack.
Yeah, but
nobody's
technically
stumbled
so
on
are
yet.
We now, and I'm worried about what happens next.
No, we're living in insane times. And, you know, when we talk about the 2024 election, when we talk about immigration policy, when we talk about the chaos on the border, I mean, this just really drives home what we're dealing with as a country. It's, you've got people coming here who just view life, I think, a very different way than we do. And, you know, there was the guy walking around with a duck.
I
saw a picture of some guy with a goose. There was some woman who apparently ate a cat. Like, I mean, this is just weird, weird stuff. And I for one, I just want America to get back to normal.
I think that the reason why I'm willing to start our conversation with Will Sharp talking about the Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, and the cats and the ducks, and all of the really adorable Trump memes that are out there right now of him rescuing cats and ducks, it's not bad for his image, is that this is about law and order. And the idea that you could be in this small town, Springfield, Ohio, which, you know, I guess there's a Springfield everywhere, I don't know anything about Springfield, Ohio, but I will forever know Springfield, Ohio for this. And even if certain things, like you said, aren't against the law, like the ducks, which had never occurred to me before, that I, you know, we're meat prices at the store are high right now. Jared, why don't you go down to LeClaire Park and get yourself a goose? I never really thought about telling Jared that before. I don't think that we would get away with that. But there is a complete and total disorder to things right now, and the Biden administration has seen to that.
Well, and I think one of the crazy things is if you talk to folks down in Texas or Arizona, and I have a lot of friends who have been working on border issues for a long time, this is the sort of craziness that border communities have been dealing with for a very, very long time. And it's taken the failures of the Biden administration, the fact that instead of talking about a couple hundred thousand illegal immigrants a year, we're talking about millions of illegal immigrants a year. It's taken that failure for these sorts of issues to reach normal Midwestern American communities, places that didn't used to have to worry about the immigration crisis the same way that folks down at the border did. And it just goes to show how outrageous the failures of the Biden-Harris administration really have been and what's at stake in the months ahead.
So we're speaking with Will Scharf. He's in studio with us for the rest of the hour. He is an attorney for Donald Trump. He's a former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri as well. We always love having you in to talk about everything that is going on with the Donald Trump lawfare, which is another chapter in this unlawful and disorderly time that we're living in right now. We know that Donald Trump's sentencing has been delayed to the end of November. It's after Election Day. Very consequential in taking that off of the left's playbook for this campaign, because it could have been sentenced to jail. It's within the realm of possibility that Donald Trump could have had that sentencing from this crazy judge. What did you make of that, the arc of where we are right now after getting that sentencing pushed back past the election?
Last time I was on the show, you guys asked me about sentencing, and I said that I just don't think sentencing is going to happen because we have very real legal issues in that case, the presidential immunity decision from the Supreme Court, most notably, that have to be dealt with before we get to sentencing. That's really what Judge Mershon's order is responding to. We've challenged that case over and over and over again because, to be frank, they rushed it. They ran roughshod over the law. They ran roughshod over normal procedure. And now the New York DA's office has to pay for that. And I'm happy that President Trump has one less thing to worry about in the lead up to the 2024 election. But to me, the real problem is that this case should have never been brought. This case was not well founded. The jury verdict is going to be overturned on appeal. But the way that they have organized this entire campaign of lawfare, it's not actually about upholding the law. It's about inflicting maximal political damage on Donald Trump in the lead up to the 2024 election. And to me, that's just an incredible unconstitutional misuse of our legal system for nakedly political ends. So that's what we're fighting against. Friday, we had a huge win in getting that sentencing pushed off until after the election. I don't think sentencing's ever going to actually happen in that case. And we just need to keep on fighting. You know, we have ongoing litigation in D.C., down in Florida, in Georgia, and elsewhere. We're going to keep on fighting and we're going to keep on winning because the facts are on our side and the law's on our side.
Will, do you feel like they got their convicted felon label?
He's not a convicted felon. Until
somebody has said that. Now explain the details to me, because I don't know this for certain.
Until final judgment is entered, which is usually at the time of sentencing, Donald Trump is not a convicted felon. He is not a felon in the eyes of the law. He has not lost his rights the way that other felons do. He is not a convicted felon. This talking point is patently absurd. It's an attempt by the left to attribute to him conduct that he didn't commit. And it's an attempt by the left to play the refs, that they want to establish this narrative that Kamala's a prosecutor and he's a convicted felon. Well, she was barely a prosecutor. She was a terrible prosecutor. And until the day of sentencing, Donald Trump is not a convicted felon, which, as we've just established, may never actually happen. So it's a bad talking point. I think it's an incorrect talking point. And I put a lot of blame on the mainstream media for letting the left to run with that narrative.
So I want to play, Brad, I'm going to ask you this question before I play it. I have this audio from the Molly Hemingway report.
That somebody recorded it on their phone off of a TV.
It says poor quality, but can we understand it?
We can understand it. It just doesn't sound very good.
Okay, let's just listen to this because I want to get Will's reaction to this clip. And this is with Alvin Bragg.
Audio has just come out from the public affairs chief of the Southern District of New York saying, quote, Alvin Bragg was stacking charges and rearranging things just to make it fit a case. To be honest with you, I think the case is nonsense. Every real estate person in New York does what Trump did. Nobody's even been charged with this.
So we have this report that leaked audio from Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's office reveals that Bragg stacked charges against Trump, and the public affairs chief believes the charges were an overreach. This will come as zero shock, I'm sure, to Will Scharf, but isn't it kind of interesting that from the inside they're admitting it?
So to be clear, this guy doesn't work for Bragg. He works for the Southern District of New York, the federal prosecutor's office in the Southern District of New York. He is the senior ranking public affairs official for the Department of Justice in the Southern District of New York. York, and they caught him on one of these like hidden camera things where the guy's out having drinks with, you know, someone he thought he was on a date with, and they start asking him questions about this stuff, and, you know, in vino veritas, he told what he believes is the truth and what I believe is the truth, which is that these cases are absolute garbage. But this is a career justice professional, a guy with no political axe to grind, who's admitting what we all know to be true, mm-hmm. which is that these cases are just absurd. And I believe that when you catch them off guard, when you catch them in private, folks on the left understand what this all is.
They know what they're doing.
They get that this is just, it's an attempt at political assassination. This isn't about upholding the law. It's about getting Donald Trump at all costs. And that attitude, that mentality is just so corrosive to our constitutional republic and to the rule of law. I hope we're able to recover on the back end, because this is a bold new world in terms of the depths the left is willing to sink to achieve their ultimate end, which is taking political power.
I'm so glad that Ryan Wiggins is happily married, because you would be spilling the secrets of the Annie Fry Show on dates left and right.
Look, I'm
you would be the easiest person.
Guys, I'm not married. I go on dates all the time. Every time somebody asks me about this stuff, I'm like, is this some secret sting? James,
will you sneak in like rumors just about Ryan Wiggins? They won't even know who you're talking about. I just want to see if we can get stuff out there.
You know, James O'Keefe did an incredible job with this stuff over the years, and now I think more conservative outlets are starting to do the same thing. But it's just incredible that when you catch these people in private off guard, they're willing to say the quiet part out loud. And that's what we've seen in New York.
Well, you said a couple times that you don't even think the sentencing will take place. And I was just kind of wondering, is this like a political reason you don't think it'll take place, or is there like legal reasons you think?
So
on this presidential immunity issue, basically the Supreme Court said in its opinion that came down on July 1st that not only does a president have immunity from prosecution for certain acts, but you can't even use evidence of immune acts in a prosecution that would otherwise be allowed to go forward. That's exactly what happened in New York. So we've challenged that jury verdict on the basis of presidential immunity. After we have a decision from Judge Mershon on that, we have the right to appeal that immediately before sentence can be passed down, before final judgment can be entered. That appellate process could conceivably go all the way back up to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's going to take a very long time. Now, I believe President Trump is going to be reelected in November. I believe come January, he's going to be sitting in the White House. It is black letter law that you cannot prosecute a sitting president of the United States of America. That's derived from the U.S. Constitution, from the Take Care Clause and the Supremacy Clauses of the U.S. Constitution. So we could easily end up with a situation where this case is just sort of out there hanging while Donald Trump serves his next 4 years as president. What are they going to do? Schedule sentencing for 2029?
Yes.
I mean,
That's exactly what they're going to do.
At some point, this all just becomes so absurd and so silly that I think it all just kind of falls away. But I said from the start that New York jury verdict would not stand, that there are so many legal issues in that case, including this presidential immunity issue. I don't think sentencing's ever going to happen there. I hope sentencing never happens there, because, you know, I sat through that trial. I don't think President Trump did anything wrong.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think that if Donald Trump tried to commit the same crime again, that he could figure out how to do it. Will Sharpe in studio with us, Donald Trump attorney, former federal prosecutor for the Eastern District of Missouri, is going to stick around for one more segment. We got a lot more questions to ask you. Questions coming in as well on our YouTube channel. You can join us there on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Vote in the poll today as well. How do you want your candidate to handle the debate tomorrow? Do you want them to be aggressive in an attack mode, or do you want them to be mindful and demure? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We will get to more of that in the 2 o'clock hour, along with the results. And Will Sharpe still sticking with us for one more segment. Don't go away. All right, welcome back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got Will Scharf in studio here, Donald Trump's attorney. Friday, was it? You sent me the video of him standing up at the podium,
yeah,
delivering the news on the delayed sentencing. Donald Trump to your left, I recall. What's it like to get the opportunity? You were, for a lot of this, you've been running for attorney general.
Yeah.
You've been doing both things here. And now you're like the guy at the podium with Donald Trump to the side.
Yeah, I'm just a lawyer now. The people of Missouri
that's
decided
exactly
that they
what
didn't
we feel.
Know.
That's exactly what we feel like here. You're
we
just
have Will
a lawyer.
In. Oh, he's just a lawyer now.
No, but it's it was a crazy day.
Yeah,
so
is he even doing anything these days?
Friday,
does he even know anybody?
Friday morning, we had oral arguments in front of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in Lower Manhattan on one of these E. Jean Carroll cases, and then President Trump had a scheduled press conference right after that at Trump Tower. And like basically as we're on the way down in the elevator, right before we got on the elevator, President Trump was like, oh, yeah, Will, like you'll stand up and say a few words. And before I had no notice that I was going to get thrown in front of a national press conference. So I went up there. I explained
who
a little bit about the case and talked about Lawfare. It was kind of crazy. My phone was blowing up because I guess a lot of people were watching. But it was a great day for us. You know, between oral argument, which I thought went about as well as we could have hoped, and then the fact that we got this news about sentencing being pushed off until after the election, it was a fun day, and it was even better to get back to Missouri late Friday night. So.
Well, I know somebody else is just a lawyer. Chris Christie, he might actually just be a lawyer. Is he still a lawyer, technically?
Chris Christie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is he still like a practicing? He had some thoughts on Donald Trump's preparation for the debate that is coming up here.
He doesn't get ready. I mean, as someone who was in charge of debate prep in 2016 and 2020 for him, it was a constant struggle. There were times when we would go and debate prep would be scheduled. We'd go in to sit with him and he would just say, no, I'm not doing it. And that would be it. And it just wouldn't happen. And so my guess is that, you know, especially now, as you said in the lead up, you know, his seventh general election presidential debate, he really doesn't think he needs to prepare.
What does Donald Trump need when it comes to debate prep, Will? What does he not know already that he needs to sit down with people who are, air quotes, smarter than him regarding these things that he's going to need to be learn or be told?
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about that Chris Christie statement is that Christie is, I guess, a bit hurt that Trump didn't rely on his advice in the 2016 debates. The 2016 debates went great for Donald Trump. I think he shredded Hillary Clinton, including at a debate right here at Washington University.
He'd be in jail.
With all the press stacked against him, with everything, all those disadvantages, Trump did incredibly well. He is a very good debater when he's on his game. I think he's the best debater in modern American political history. I think we saw that on display with the first debate against Biden. I think we're going to see it on display tomorrow in this next debate against Kamala Harris. I think he is a natural communicator. He's been in the public eye for so long. He probably does need a lot less prep than most politicians do for these sorts of things. I know that he's been talking to people. There have been public reports about him having meetings about debate strategy and all that with different figures, including Missouri's own Eric Schmidt, our junior senator. So I think he's fine. I think what Chris Christie's saying is absolute garbage. And I think that, you know, we've heard these sorts of attacks for years against President Trump. It's political types and people who have been in the public arena for a while who feel left out. And they feel like they should have sort of their moment in the sun. That's really not what this is about. But I'm excited for the debate tomorrow. I think it's going to go really well for us. I think the more the American people get to actually hear from Kamala Harris, the better for President Trump.
I don't think it was just Chris Christie that said this, but I think President Trump in the last couple of weeks has said, no, you pretty much have to, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you have to know the information.
Yeah.
You're not going to get all the information in 5 days before the debate and then go, okay, now I'm ready. It's like a lifetime of public service and business that he's done, he brings to the table, he was talking about. But I still wonder if does he go into these things not trying to prepare one-liners and get the information like you know what Kamala's doing right
I
now.
I just can't imagine Donald Trump like sitting down writing his best jokes.
No, no way. That's why they come off
he's firing from the hip all the time.
Exactly. But does he go in with any sort of, like, does he listen to advice about, hey, maybe the tone, try this, try that. You know, does he have a strategy for those types of things?
Yeah, look, he has an incredible team of political advisors around him now. I think this is his best political team that he's ever had going back to 2016 and before. I know that they've had conversations about this. I won't reveal things that I've heard in private, but I know that they're thinking strategically about this debate, and I know President Trump understands what he needs to do, which is stay focused on the facts, stay focused on the issues, and really just let Kamala dig a grave for herself. Ooh. Because when you find out what her record actually is, when you find out the things that she's said over the years, whether it's her support for an open border, her support for banning fracking, her support for any number of other policy issues that are deeply at variance with what normal Americans believe, he's going to win this debate, and I don't think it's going to be close.
The debate moderators, this is on ABC, David Muir, am I saying that right? And ABC News Live Prime anchor Lindsay Davis will moderate the debate. I admittedly don't know anything about them.
Well, the crazy thing is this is a debate being hosted by ABC. President Trump is currently suing ABC for defamation.
Yeah.
We have a pending lawsuit against ABC and George Stephanopoulos
Maybe
for defaming him. Like, how is this supposed to be a fair and unbiased debate? When we talk about, like, media bias, I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
What's the defamation from?
This is where George Stephanopoulos repeatedly called him a rapist on the air.
Oh.
So we sued Stephanopoulos and ABC for defamation. That suit survived a motion to dismiss in federal court in Florida. It is currently ongoing. I haven't worked on it directly, but I'm very familiar with it. It is insane that ABC is trusted as a supposedly fair and unbiased moderator of a presidential debate when they are literally an adverse party in federal court to President Trump. It just goes to show how in the tank the media really is.
Is he going to bring that up?
I hope so. When I was on with Stephanopoulos, he cut our interview a little bit short. But yeah. If he'd kept coming at me, I was going to throw that at him. It's crazy.
Will Scharf speaking with us right now, Donald Trump attorney, former federal prosecutor here in the Eastern District of Missouri. Since this is what we're talking about with the Stephanopoulos rapist accusation or name that he continued to repeat. We've had people come on our chat and say, you know, he's a convicted rapist, that Trump is a convicted rapist. Can you correct the record on that?
He's not a convicted rapist. First of all, he's never been criminally charged with anything even resembling that. There is this E. Jean Carroll lawsuit where a jury explicitly found him not liable. This is a civil case. A jury explicitly found him not liable for rape.
Hmm.
They did find him liable for sexual assault. We are challenging that on appeal. I believe we will get it overturned on appeal. That entire trial was corrupted with just insane evidentiary decisions. They allowed in things that should have never seen the inside of a courtroom. We're going to ultimately prevail there, I believe. But again, you know, this is just a leftist narrative that has no basis in the facts and no basis in the law. And it's insane how it's taken hold and how people feel entitled to just say things that aren't true.
Yeah, I find that to be repetitive. And you've even corrected the convicted felon label that has been attached to Donald Trump. I mean, it is probably the most valuable thing that the left has gotten out of all of this lawfare. It's what they sought after. And you're saying it's not even accurate.
Well, and remember where we started. You know, they indicted him in four courtrooms. They were expecting that they would be able to hold him on trial, including over January 6th stuff and the documents case and all this other stuff. They thought he was going to be on trial for most of 2024, that they were going to get trial after trial after trial. And because of good lawyering and because the facts and the law are on our side, we've been able to defeat that plan. We had the one trial in New York, which, as I said before, I think we're going to get that verdict overturned on appeal. It's certainly not moving towards sentencing anytime fast. And the rest of the cases, Florida's been dismissed. D.C. is moving at a snail's pace. Georgia, where the prosecutor's in more legal peril than President Trump is at this point, we're doing really well. We've chalked up some great victories for platform. And we need to keep on fighting, and we need to make sure that he has the ability to carry his message to the American people, because it's a winning message.
I don't think we've had you on, Will, since Jack Smith came out with the revised indictments. Can you kind of explain to us where it was and what it is now, maybe the timeline that is ahead for that one?
So July 1st, the Supreme Court came down with its presidential immunity decision, which said that many acts that were part of that D.C. indictment originally, the president has absolute immunity for. So certainly with respect to those acts, the case against President Trump couldn't proceed. Jack Smith knew that he had a real problem. So he sent one of his prosecutors in front of a D.C. grand jury. They rushed through a new superseding indictment that takes some of the more egregious stuff from their first indictment out. The stuff that the Supreme Court said that Trump had absolute immunity for. They pulled that out, and now they're attempting to bring basically the same case, just with fewer facts and even less evidence. They're still attempting to bring that in D.C. We believe that there are still large aspects of that case that are covered by the Supreme Court's immunity decision. We believe that we also have other powerful legal defenses to everything that they're alleging in that case. It's premised on a totally incorrect view of the facts, totally unfounded view of the facts in D.C. relating to President Trump's efforts to investigate election fraud and the events of January 6th. I think we're going to win. The question is, in the meantime, how much damage, political damage, they're able to do to President Trump with these spurious allegations, which I believe was really their plan all along.
We've only got a minute, less than a minute left here. Is Donald Trump, are there any more major legal blips on the timeline between now and Election Day?
No, you know, Jack Smith's going to file some brief in D.C. court at some point in late September, early October. Other than that, I mean, I think he's got a clear field. We got that Florida documents case dismissed.
Could you have asked for a better outcome before the election than you've gotten?
I think things have gone really well for us. You know, when we first started raising issues of presidential immunity, when we first started pushing to dismiss that Florida case, all the mainstream media and legal commentary, it laughed at us. And then we actually got into court in front of fair judges, and we've kept on winning.
Will Scharf, we thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us. Come back soon. We love having you. And the world is getting crazier, but you bring some sanity back into it. Thanks for being with us again.
I miss you guys. Always great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Follow him on X at Will Scharf. You'll be glad you did. Let's stick around. We'll get to our YouTube poll.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.